This morning's scripture comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13, verse 1 through 5. You're invited to follow along in your pew Bible. At the time, the disciple came to Jesus and asked, "Who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" He called a child whom he put among them and said, "Truly I tell you, unless you change and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever becomes humble like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me."
The other scripture this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 17, verses 11 to 19. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 lepers approached him. Keeping their distance, they called out, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were made clean. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He prostrated himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus asked, "Were not 10 made clean? But the other 9, where are they? Was none of them found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well." Hear what the Spirit is saying.
Will you pray with me? Holy God, today we give you thanks for children everywhere. Their presence stirs our hearts. Thank you. Amen. So it's October. All the colors of orange and fall are out. The pumpkins are out. And we're making plans for our community Thanksgiving service with 3 churches and the Medicinas dancers and the Ubuntu violins. And the stewardship committee is planning this big Sunday, ice cream Sunday at the end of October to say thank you to all of you for your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness. It must be Thanksgiving already. And if you ask me, we're in desperate need for Thanksgiving. Sunday can't come too soon. Take a look around us. You've seen all the pictures of the destruction that Hurricane Matthew caused when it reached a 4 and of all places, Haiti. The devastation, the loss of lives, the flooding once again in the same place. You've seen the political news. You've heard the political news. You've heard the anger. You've heard the accusations. You know that Congress here is gridlocked. You know that racial tension still exists, because racism still exists. And you know that the war is ongoing in Syria and on in so many places. It's a sad state of affairs. But on Children's Sabbath, we're once again reminded by our confirmation class and by our Burundi Sunday school class, and by many others of you who came originally from the continent of Africa, and by our scripture today, that of all the responses that we could make to the myriad challenges that I just enumerated, or to the blessings that each of us have in our lives, the most powerful response we can make is to give thanks, like the 10th leper did in today's scripture. In a Sunday school class that I teach, we share prayer concerns. And when one particular woman comes and we get to her, no matter how sick she has been or what's been going on in her life, she said, I have a prayer of thanksgiving. God woke me up this morning. And I'm alive, I'm here, and I give thanks. According to the scripture, faith and gratitude are almost interchangeable. Let me repeat that. Faith and gratitude are almost interchangeable. In fact, without gratitude, faith is not faith at all. In today's passage, Jesus is in a border region. As he's always wont to do, he's wandering around in places he's really not supposed to be wandering around in, and he's interacting with people with whom he's not supposed to be interacting. And this time he runs into a group of 10. They're unclean because they have leprosy, and they approach him for healing, but they don't get very close. They've been trained by their bitter experience to stay far, far away from people. In fact, they've been told to shout out when they see people approaching them and they don't know they're there, unclean, unclean, so the people can turn around and leave them. They live in the shadows, and they still do. I've told you before, from my trips to Liberia, we always, always go to the rehab, and the rehab is out from Ganta. It's out because people there have leprosy. Their children may not, and they may have to live there, but they're there because they have leprosy. And so the first time I went, I was really apprehensive, and I had all these teenagers with me, and I'm responsible for them, and I don't know really how to guide them. And walking along the road to rehab, we see people walking our way, and they have limbs that are still falling off gradually as their skin is injured, and they have all sorts of open wounds and different things going on, and sometimes they'll fall. And so I determined I was going to ask someone who knew, and I went to these two nuns who live on the property, and one was just there from Germany. She was a doctor, and her expertise was in the area of leprosy. And I said, "So how do you get leprosy?" She said, "Abject poverty. That's how you get it." She'd been treating them all those years. And once she said that, I felt a little more at ease. And I saw that one thing the lepers experienced again and again, even today, is the isolation, the difference, the not being touched, the distance. And so when I preached the next Sunday there at the rehab in their little chapel, they had passed the peace too. And I was up on a platform like this, and they were there, and I knew that I could just stay on the platform. And they would just nod at me. But instead, I walked among them and I hugged them. I never told my mother about that, but I did. I did it. Because I had heard from the nuns how isolated they are and what the real problem is. So in response to the pleas of these 10 lepers in the scripture, Jesus tells him, "Go on your way and you'll find that you are healed." And so they start going away, and sure enough, they're looking and they're going, "Oh my goodness, the healing is taking place." And they've been instructed to go to a priest who will say, "Officially, you are healed." And so that means they can return to their family, they can return to their community, they can go back and worship in community and pass the peace and shake hands and hug one another. But the one who is doubly other, in other words, he's not just a leper, he's from Samaria. He is a Samaritan. He cannot get over it. And he has to run back and express his gratitude to Jesus. The other nine did nothing wrong. They did exactly what Jesus told them to do. They went to the priest who declared them, we assume, healed. But the one who turns back to give thanks receives a double blessing. He was healed physically and he was made whole. Your faith has made you whole. Your faith has made you well. Your faith is connected to your gratitude. Have you ever noticed how powerful it is first to receive a blessing and then in turn to acknowledge that blessing and to say thank you? It happened to me this week, and it happened to Pastor Deborah. We were invited by the Bonhoeffer House to have dinner with them on Wednesday night. And we waited outside on the porch and talked with neighbors and friends. And then we were invited to come in. And Ryan, whom you've met, Ryan Klink, who's the house pastor, had cooked it out of a garden, fresh spinach all along the table, and these wonderful dishes, some with vegetarian and some with meat, and this bread and the butter and the watermelon from the garden. And we just wanted to stay there and stay in that moment. And we said, we're so thankful. We're so thankful. And Kevin said, I'm going to wash all the dishes. And Mike, who's with us today and always, regaled us all through lunch with the statistic that man has in his head on football. I dare any of you who are sports fans, I dare you to ask him a question. You can ask him after church, and the man can answer you. But we wanted to stay there and say thank you. Thank you for the gift that all of us have to go over on a Wednesday night and bring food. And as I sat around the table, they said, remember last week, I think it was last week, when Alice and Chris made all the food and brought it all to us and just put it on our table before us, before 16 people? And they remembered and they said thanks for that dinner from Alice and Chris. So when we give thanks, somehow the original blessing just gets multiplied and multiplied. And Thanksgiving is like that. The Burundi Sunday School class realizes that. They have decided that they're giving a gift to all of us. On Thanksgiving Sunday, each of us will receive a CD of their music that they are making, of songs that they have sung in worship. Each of us will receive that as their way of saying thanks, and they're preparing special treats for us for Grace Gathering that same day. And that's not only saying thanks to those who have made sure that they were taken in to begin with, to those who have cared how their children fared at school, to those who cared about their being in community, it's also their way of saying, thank you, God, for being in this place. Because we remember when we were in a refugee camp. We remember when we couldn't go to school so easily. But thanks be to God, we are here. So today, the children who are serving as our liturgist, Chiza and Raymond and McAdoo, are great models to us for living a life of gratitude. They are great models. We watch them every Sunday, and we watch how they learn and how they pay attention and how they practice liturgy and how they want to be in the moment. And how they want to say thanks to God. So on November 12th, all of us, are going to have a chance to say thank you to Kaboom Raise your hand if you know what kaboom is. All right, so many of you do. So kaboom looks at areas of the community that are underserved, and they say, how about a brand new playground? One that serves 2-year-olds to 12-year-olds, one that has shade tarps. How about that? We can do that with your partner, and our partner happens to be Blue Cross Blue Shield. If you will come out, 75 to 100 of you, we'll bring 75, that's right, 75 to 100, so that means just about everybody here, and we'll bring 75 or 100 from Blue Cross Blue Shield, and in one day, having done the work of raising all the grounds out there, we will erect a playground that you have designed along with your children from Project Transformation and your children from Open Door, and kaboom, there will be a playground that will be there for a very, very long time, and we can say thank you to God. So let's look at our world again that's filled with all these troubles, for real. It's also filled with blessings. It's filled with families who care for one another, sometimes in the midst of the greatest tragedies and challenges. It's filled with colleagues who work with us and work hard for justice. It's filled with teachers who care about their students. It's filled with a government that's far from perfect, yet striving to provide freedom as no one has ever known it. It's filled with first responders who put themselves in harm's way. If you watched anything this week, you saw those first responders on Florida's highways protecting all those people in the Carolinas and in Florida and in Georgia. It's filled with a community, this community, who is grateful that we have a covenant with Project Transformation and who sees lives transformed and who says, how can I help? Even if I work in the daytime, tell me how I can help because I've seen lives transformed and I want to say thank you. All right. So it is Thanksgiving already. But how does thankfulness equate with faithfulness? Because when we return and we give thanks, we are recognizing that mercy and blessing comes from God. That's what we're doing when we say thanks. We're recognizing that the mercy and the blessing comes from God. And that is our faithfulness. For the gift of life, for the gift of family, for the gift of people that God has given to each one of us to enrich our lives. And for Christians, for God's love in Jesus Christ and the gift that goes along with hope and wholeness, whether we're poor or old or sick, or whether we're homeless. We may live indeed in a culture that is filled with blame and accusation and almost at times completely devoid of thanksgiving, but on this children's Sabbath day, let's remember that God woke each one of us up this morning and gave us the opportunity to break with our usual tidy agenda and run back and offer our gifts to God and say, praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Amen.